This is a podcast from CFR.org, the website of the Council on Foreign Relations.
This is Stephanie Hansen for CFR.org. Honduras declared a state of emergency on Monday, the latest in a political crisis that began with the ousting of President Manuel Zelaya in June. What are the current situation's regional implications? I'm speaking to Shannon O'Neill, a fellow for Latin American Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Shannon, why has the Honduras crisis progressed to its current state?
You know, this began just over 3 months ago, and we saw a conflict between the current de facto government and then the previous president, President Zelaya. The first conflict there was over Zelaya wanting to hold a referendum about the Constitution, about particular provisions, which the Supreme Court and the Congress said were illegal. In trying to deal with the situation, the conflict that arose, the current de facto government, the head of the Congress and others, let the military come in, serve a warrant from the Supreme Court on the president, but then put him on a plane and send him to Costa Rica. And that's where this all started, was him being forcibly removed from the country, and then the world community coming together and deciding that this forcible removal from the country was illegal and under international law.
And this situation has caused really a lot of difficulty for the United States as its first sort of test of regional diplomatic issues. How has Washington handled the situation thus far? Some analysts have said they've really been sending mixed messages.
Well, what's interesting is when you saw President Obama go to the Summit of the Americas in April, last April, the main message he got forward or put forward was that the United States was no longer going to be the heavy in the region. The United States was no longer going to make unilateral decisions, that it was going to be up to the region to work together through multilateral institutions and other organizations or means to deal with the region's problems. And so the good thing for the countries was it was time for everyone to step up to the plate. And with the Honduras crisis, we've seen the United States try to follow through on that. We've seen the United States try to say that we won't be the leader in this. This has to be a regional solution and really a regional approach to it, which has been quite good in some ways, but for a region of the world where they're often used to the United States stepping in, for the United States, they're very used to the United States taking the lead on this, there's been some mixed signals there. And so it's been a quite difficult balancing this, and that's part of the reason we've seen mixed messages coming out of the United States.
Can you expand a little bit on what you think that means for the U.S. role in Latin America going forward? Or can we take any lesson from that, any broader meaning from that extending beyond Honduras?
Well, it's important in the Honduras case here because the United States doesn't want to be seen as unilaterally negotiating with the de facto government and with the previous president. They want other nations to be involved. And we've seen that happening, particularly through the ex-president of Costa Rica, Oscar Arias, who's jumped in and been part of the mediation of the situation, which so far has been stalemated. But it is important. It's sort of the first step for the United States in dealing with a crisis, trying to implement a new philosophy or work through different organizations. I mean, one thing we've seen in this crisis that the OAS, the Organization of American States, it's very difficult to get things done through them. It's been very difficult for the OAS to enter the situation and try to defuse it. So one lesson looking forward is what role can the OAS take on and how can it really be involved in these types of situations and crises? We've seen in recent years the rise of other regional multilateral organizations. One in particular, UNASUR, which is a union of South American nations, pushed strongly by Brazil, among others. And so perhaps what we'll see going forward, and Honduras is leading us this direction, is the rise of other multilateral organizations, particularly regional ones, in dealing with issues in these, because we've seen the OAS be quite ineffective in this case.
Let's talk a little bit more about Brazil. Brazil has allowed former President Zelaya to take refuge in the Brazilian embassy in Honduras. What role does Brazil have to play in the Honduras situation going forward?
Brazil stepping in and particularly almost forced to step in when Zelaya chose their embassy to reside in these last few days, has changed the nature of the conflict and the potential solution. Before, many countries were turning particularly to the United States and then to the San Jose Accords that have been on the table in trying to mediate between the de facto president and the former president. With Brazil stepping in because of Zelaya's choice, we see another regional power come into the mix. And Brazil now will take ownership in many ways and is taking ownership in many ways of the situation. And we've seen Brazil actually have a much stronger position than we've seen the United States, at least publicly, in supporting the ex-president and supporting Zelaya and saying that we have to see him reinstated before elections happen. And we also won't recognize these new elections unless there's some sort of resolution between the two competing governments. So Brazil coming in may change the nature of the game, but in the end, even if it doesn't change that, even if we see a stalemate continue, it shows that Brazil is really stepping up into its role as a leader in the region.
And one final question, just on the topic of elections. They're now scheduled for November 29th. Do you think that this is the most realistic resolution to the political stalemate, these elections at the end of November? Or do you expect that there'll be some sort of impetus for change before that?
There is a lot of pressure on the current de facto government to do something before that. There are many nations that have said that they will not recognize these elections if they're not held under different circumstances than today. We've seen the United Nations pull back their funding for the electoral process for the same reason, saying that these won't be free and fair elections because they're being managed by this de facto government. But in the end, time is really on the side of this de facto government, of the Micheletti government. They've been able to hold out for 3 months. It's very likely they'll be able to hold out for another 2 months. And then once elections happen, it is a way out of the stalemate that we've seen. A new elected president will take power then in January, and perhaps we'll see nation after nation recognize these elections. Already, Panama and others have said that they would recognize these elections as long as they're free and fair. So it's difficult to say what will happen in the next couple of months in terms of the elections, but it does seem to be a way out of the current stalemate. Whether that's good or not for the international community, it's unclear. And how the international community will come together to represent those, it's unclear.
I've just been speaking with Latin America expert Shannon O'Neill. For CFR.org, I'm Stephanie Hansen.
Thank you for listening to this Council on Foreign Relations podcast. For additional expert analysis of international news in audio, video, and text, as well as a full menu of RSS feeds, please visit us online at CFR.org.